I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast.
If you have Medicaid or Healthy Montana Kids, it's time to renew your coverage. Not sure you still qualify? Don't wait. Complete and return your Medicaid redetermination packet today. If you haven't received a packet yet, you will soon. Follow the instructions you receive in the mail from DPHHS or complete it online before the due date at apply.mt.gov. That's apply.mt.gov. Brought to you by DPHHS.
All right, time to check the level. Going to head to Washington, D.C. Going to head to the swamp. Check the swamp level. But seriously, we're looking at immigration still being a huge problem. Completely, almost completely not addressed, but there's some frustrations boiling over in a lot of places. Some of them Democratic strongholds like New York. We'll talk about immigration. We'll talk about governance and spending. Again, it's omnibus. It's omnibus city. Can we do a better job there? That's one thing to talk about. And then also, I mean, there's a lot. The economy to go off of. And then, you know, the 2024 election is 15 months out. But man, the mud's flying already. We're going to talk today with Montana Senator Steve Daines on Voices of Montana. Again, appreciate you being here. Some of this mud flying, it was in reference to a special counsel that has filed professional misconduct complaints against our Montana Attorney General, Austin Knutson. I'll have more on that likely a bit later on. But it's a pleasure to welcome our first guest here. It's been a while, and very much appreciate our U.S. Senator Steve Daines, fifth-generation Montanan, has a lot of experience in the professional world, private sector world, as well as a lifelong sportsman. And we're coming up on your favorite time of year, aren't we, Senator?
Yeah, Tom, we are. It's good to join you. It's going to be opening season of antelope for rifle here soon, and my son and I both drew tags for the 700 District, which is Eastern Montana. It's been a family tradition for over 25 years, and it's one of my favorite times of the year. I love antelope hunting. It's usually still pretty warm out, and looking forward to some spot and stalk and see what happens.
Are you taking the best hunter in your family? Your wife?
So we have a new grandbaby due about that same time.
Oh,
so Cindy is the crack shot in the family. She knocked down around up at 368 yards last year, washed her with one shot. So I call her Mrs. Daines, Tom. It's not Cindy because she's a darn good shot. But she's probably going to be staying close to our daughter, Annie, who's in Montana in the Gallatin Valley. They farm there in the Gallatin Valley to do wheat, alfalfa, and barley. And new grandbaby's probably going to be the higher priority for Cindy here. Yeah. She's due that same weekend.
Well, go out and get that new grandbaby some game, too. And
we've got to raise them on the right kind of meat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And congratulations on that. You know, and that leads me just to the general question about, as a U.S. senator, and you've got some experience there as well and some clout in Congress. And then you talk about your family commitments and those things that ground you, I presume, or I hope. In fact, I know because you've spoken about that. How often, and maybe it's all the time, 24/7, those things weigh on you. I'm not even asking the right question. I mean, how do you balance the politics and the family aspect of it and use those inspirations for right policies?
It's a great question, and I think it's really important that members of Congress remain grounded and understand why they're here, what motivates them to serve. As a son of a Marine, mom and dad grew up in Billings. My dad served in the Marine Corps when he was actually in Missoula. And you think more about this when those grandkids come. We'll have our sixth grandbaby here, God willing, in October. And you think about what kind of country are they going to inherit from us as we pass the baton generation to generation. And Tom, like so many Montanans, I'm very concerned about where our country is headed. You look on virtually every policy front from Biden and his administration, whether it's this insanity on this woke agenda that's infiltrating now military leaders, our schools, the fact that biological men are allowed to compete against women in sports. I mean, our parents and grandparents never dreamed we'd be having these fundamental discussions. This is so important to get these policies right. This is bigger than just policy. These are fundamental moral questions we face as a nation. You look at the insanity in spending. We're going to have $2 trillion. That's with a T, Tom. $1 trillion deficits coming our way. That's our deficit next year is going to be larger than every economy in the world but 10 countries. I mean, think about all the economies in the world. Our deficit alone is bigger than all but 10 countries. These are very concerning moments that could send us off of a fiscal cliff. And so I get back home to Montana virtually every weekend. We got to see all of our grandkids at a family wedding here this past weekend over Labor Day. That's the joys of life. And I'll tell you, it's a motivator for me around why I get up every morning and get to do this job for the people of Montana. I think about the country our grandkids are going to have someday.
Montana Senator Steve Daines is with us here. Steve, appreciate you coming on. I want to talk more about this budget and I've got concerns as we look at how much consumer spending is an important part of our economy. It is generally a lot of advanced economies. A lot of it depends on consumer spending. When we see inflation at this level, and we're starting to see some job losses, we're starting to see, I think, indications that we might be in it for more of a long term here. Mm-hmm. I have concerns. Is there what actions outside of my mind of just unleashing our power in energy, what other actions can be taken to hopefully avoid what may be coming?
Well, Tom, you look back a little bit in history, and I'm old enough to remember 1973. I was a kid in Bozeman. I mean, I wasn't very old, but I remember they had the War of Yom Kippur. Oil prices quadrupled. Suddenly it shocked the economy, but it took a while for that shock to work its way through the economy. Of course, then we had the years of Jimmy Carter and then the election in 1980 of Ronald Reagan. But remember, 30-year fixed mortgages reached 18.6% in 1981. At that time, I was a freshman at Montana State University. So there's a lot more, I think, water to pass under this fiscal craziness bridge. It's going to take a while. I just look at headlines, Tom, in the last week. One headline, the housing market is stuck. It talks about starter homes are now the most expensive ever. In my hometown of Bozeman, the median home price is $800,000, $900,000. Yeah. There was a headline yesterday that said credit card and car loan defaults hit a 10-year high as inflation squeezes families. There was another headline yesterday that said, strapped for cash, more Americans are making early withdrawals from their retirement savings. Early withdrawal from retirement savings increased 36% just year over year. So I think we're just now starting to hit another point of inflection of where the pain of inflation, sadly, is only going to get worse before it gets better. And you ask about what do we have to do? There's two things that are at the top of my list. One is you've got to continue to unleash American energy. You brought that point up. So critical. And everything this administration is doing, the Biden administration, and frankly, the Democrats in the Senate and the House are complicit, mm-hmm. is about shutting off fossil fuel. Look, we're going to have conventional source of energy, coal, natural gas, oil, for the next 20 to 30 years. It's ludicrous to be burning these bridges until a new bridge is built. That's common sense, and we're facing the painful consequences. And second is spending. The massive amount of COVID money that was shoved out the door when there was $1 trillion of unspent COVID dollars when Biden took office, and the Democrats, on a purely partisan vote, every single Republican opposed, every single Democrat, including every Democrat senator, including my colleague from Montana, supported a $1.9 trillion stimulus package. It was completely unneeded, unnecessary. And then they passed the Inflation Reduction Act, so-called, that just threw more fuel on the inflation fire, which is basically a green energy bill. These are the policies that have got to be stopped. And that's why the election of 2024 is so important for the presidency, for the U.S. Senate, and for the U.S. House.
And I want to go off of that or go into that a little bit more. Montana Senator Steve Daines is with us as you chair the NRSC, the National Republican Senatorial Committee. You're obviously in election mode. I mean, that's what I think in those offices you have to kind of consider 24/7, 365. The rest of the public is not necessarily, I don't know, getting on board yet. I mean, we're still 15 months out from that. Talk about how how we manage our elections. I think there's still some concerns about secure elections. That's another issue to address entirely. But your thoughts from where you're sitting now, and congratulations on that appointment, by the way, Senator.
Well, thanks. I was selected by my colleagues for that, so it was an elected position of leadership with a 2-year assignment, and I had the support from the entire spectrum of the Republican Senate. Everybody from Susan Collins to Ted Cruz were supporting me in doing this job. So I'm honored to serve my colleagues, but important to serve my country in this role. Look, we've seen the consequences of elections. We see the consequences of when you allow the Democrat Party, which today is so far to the left of the Democrat Party that I grew up with in Montana. My grandpa Daines, who I thank him every day for teaching me how to fly fish. He was my inspiration for hunting as well as my dad. But my grandpa Daines was a diehard Democrat in Billings back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. My grandpa Daines would not be a Democrat today.
Yeah.
Those are the Democrats of old. Those are the Democrats that still believed in fighting for blue-collar jobs and the average working man or woman. Gone is that Democrat Party. This party today has got a very it's almost a Marxist kind of agenda in dictating the taking over the education system, dictating this green economy, which is going to be devastating right now for the average man and woman in our country who wants to work hard. Second Amendment, they're gun grabbing. I mean, it's just across the board. It's a very different party. So that's why I wake up in terms of the job I get to do for my country is to ensure that we have a change in leadership at the presidency, at the Senate, and congressional levels. Kamala Harris, here's an example, Tom. Kamala Harris has broken more ties as vice president than any vice president now in our nation's history. We've had 47 vice presidents since the founding of our great country. Kamala has broken ties. As you know, when the Senate is tied, the vice president breaks the tie. She just broke John Adams and John Calhoun's records. They both served 8 years as vice president. She's only been in the job for less than 3 years. So it shows you how thin the majorities are, how narrow these differences in terms of votes can be, and what difference one additional Republican U.S. senator could make in terms of stopping terrible judge appointments, which are there for a lifetime. Stopping the Inflation Reduction Act was broken by that tie, that vote was broken. That tie vote was broken by Kamala Harris. So it's just examples of how these elections are so profound. Look at the southern border. I mean, completely out of control. Joe Biden reversed Trump's policies that were working in terms of the Remain in Mexico policy, building the wall. What has that resulted in? Over 5 million illegals coming across the southern border, not to mention the flood of fentanyl, the Mexican cartels having their way in states like Montana. You talk to sheriffs, you talk to police chiefs, they'll tell you the Mexican cartels are alive and well in Montana. And I tell you, it's just a shame because these policies that Trump had in place that were working were reversed by Biden. Those are just a few examples of why what's going to happen in November of 2024 is so important. And by the way, Montana, it will be ground zero. That Senate race in Montana will be the race that decides who controls majority of the United States Senate. It really is. I think we're going to win West Virginia. That takes us to 50-50. Montana will be the deciding state to be the 51st Republican Senate vote.
Yeah, real key. Montana Senator Steve Daines is with us here. Stand by Skip and Chris in Hamilton and Columbia Falls. We've got some calls to go to. Those policies, energy and immigration, they're coming from the administration. Those are two policies that can easily be adjusted to help our country with inflation. We'll have more, though, with Montana Senator Steve Daines today on Voices of Montana in just a bit.
Attention recipients of Medicaid and Healthy Montana Kids. It's time to complete and return your Medicaid redetermination packet. Don't wait and risk a gap in health coverage. If you haven't received a packet yet, you will soon. Follow the instructions you receive in the mail from DPHHS or complete it online before the due date at apply.mt.gov. That's apply.mt.gov. Brought to you by DPHHS.
He's a lifelong Montanan, grew up in Bozeman, Montana, public schools there, also worked his way through Montana State University with a B.S. in chemical engineering, and a lot of years in the private sector, in fact, a few years as well as a United States representative for the state of Montana, ranked the most effective first-term House member in 2013 and 2014. And now Montana U.S. Senator Steve Daines is with us here. We'll have headlines from Brian Bennett in just a little bit here on the other side of the 35 break as we go to the phones. And again, Senator, thank you so much for being here. Skip, let's go to, no, Chris. Chris in Columbia Falls, listening on KOFI, big stick up there. And Chris, thanks for joining us. You're on with Senator Daines.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. I have a comment here, and it's just not meant to be cruel or mean, but it's to suggest that you keep a good wits about yourself, about America and what you stand for, because your legacy is my legacy. You know, I left Boston years ago in the 60s, and people say, why did you leave such a historical place? I said, well, because they wouldn't let me have another tea party. You know, so in reference to a tea party, you know, if you're on the edge of the edge of a cliff, two steps backwards is progress. And I feel that that's the way we are now. You know, we are at this edge, you know, of corruption of our Constitution, you know, by the word democracy. You know, there's a lot of what they say, the left, I mean, they talk about democracy, democracy. It's not the democracy that I remember. So, I mean, don't be corrupted by that. And if you want to leave something for your children and your grandchildren, like I have to do that, then just keep doing what you're doing and follow the Constitution and teach them that. And do it boldly and do it every day. If you have grandchildren, as I do, I'm 83, and I'm going to keep on saying this, you know, that America is valuable, and it is important for us to just keep on doing what we should be doing.
Chris, thank
and
you.
Not for this corruption that is so destroying our country. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that, Chris. I appreciate that. And Senator, obviously, words of encouragement in your position, those do not get overlooked, do they?
No, they don't. And let us never ever forget that when you win an election, you swear an oath. Not to a political party. You swear an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. And Chris's point is so important as we think about these generational handoffs we have. As Ronald Reagan talked about, the freedom is not passed on in the veins. It is passed on, certainly, as we teach our children and grandchildren about what this country means, what the Constitution means, the values of which the Constitution was founded upon, and how what freedom really means, what liberty really means, and a reminder to our children and grandchildren that these certain unalienable rights that were given to us by our Creator, that's a capital C in the Declaration of Independence, these rights were given to us by God, not by our government. The government's role is to protect those rights, but those rights were not given to us by the government. They came from God, and that starts with the Declaration of Independence. These are foundational truths that need to be taught to each generation. And we are, by the way, we are not a, quote, democracy. We are a constitutional republic, and there is a difference. Our founding fathers rejected what Greece had in terms of a, quote, democracy, because a democracy is when two wolves and a lamb decide what's for dinner.
Right.
That's called mob rule. We are founded on the principles of a constitutional republic and the rule of law. And ultimately, we've got to come back to those principles as we teach our children about what America stands for.
Yeah, I appreciate that, too. And we're losing that that rule of law incrementally, and it's taken a big leap backwards in my mind. Let's go to Skip listening in Hamilton, KLYQ. You're on the air with Montana Senator Steve Daines.
Thank you, Tom. And good morning, Senator. And it's nice to hear you on the radio, sir. Your explanations are plain and easy to understand about all these things you're talking about. And here in Montana, a lot of people don't realize what the derivatives could be about this argument about a debt ceiling that's going to happen, I believe, near the end of this month in our U.S. Congress. Could you tell us what some of the things that could happen if maybe they do not increase the debt ceiling and there's some sort of a shutdown? what could happen, just for educational purposes, what to possibly expect. Are people like me that's on Social Security, would we be affected? Would veterans be affected? What's the probabilities? And sir, when it comes to our state, personally, I hope Matt stays where he is in District 2, and I hope that someone like Tim Sheehy, a breath of fresh air, runs against John Tester and becomes our new senator. I'll listen off the air. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Skip.
Well, Skip, thanks for the thoughtful question and the thoughtful comment. Let me just clarify what we're facing here on September 30th. It's not a debt ceiling debate. That debate was had earlier this year to raise the debt ceiling. That basically is about allowing the federal government to borrow more money to service its debt. The debate on September 30th that we're coming up to is the end of the fiscal year for the federal government, and that is where the federal government, like state government, like any business, has to pass a budget to fund itself for the next year. So the debate coming up here is, can Congress get the budgets passed in time to fund the government past the end of its fiscal year starting September 30th? And the new fiscal year begins October 1st. So the bottom line is, the government, quote, shutdown would be if Congress can't pass a budget. So it's not a debt ceiling debate, if that makes sense. So here's the way I look at it. We are absolutely at a point in our U.S. history of great fiscal irresponsibility. I've never seen, nor has anybody ever seen, debts now north of $32 trillion. But what's more concerning than even $32 trillion of debt is that the deficits, which are the annual numbers, are projected to be over $1 trillion for the foreseeable future. In fact, for the coming fiscal year, they're projecting now to be $2 trillion. The deficit in 1 year in the federal government now is projected to be bigger than all the economies combined in the world except but 10. This is really, really concerning. And so the first bill I ever introduced into Congress, and I do it every year, is that if members of Congress can't balance their budget, they shouldn't get paid. In the state of Montana, when Governor Gianforte is working with the state legislature, they can't leave Helena when they come together every 2 years until they pass a balanced budget. There's no such thing in Washington, D.C. See, the state of Montana requires that to pass a balanced budget. A business requires a balanced budget, or else you don't stay in business. The federal government just keeps borrowing and borrowing and borrowing. That has inflationary effects. And at some point, this thing will tip over from a fiscal standpoint. And that is why we need to continue to elect leaders who believe in fiscal restraint and limited government. The challenge we face in Washington at this moment is we don't control the U.S. Senate. Chuck Schumer is the majority leader of the U.S. Senate. Kevin McCarthy in the House. We do have Republican control in the House, but not in the Senate. And so consequently, we are going to have to find a way through this that will require Democrats and Republicans to agree on a budget. It's going to be a major showdown coming up. I don't like these punts of continuing resolutions, they're called, where if they can't get a budget passed by September 30th, they pass a continuing resolution, which basically punts the ball for another 3 months to come up with some sort of an omnibus, which omnibus is just another word for bloated federal spending. And if you look at my voting record on these, I've opposed these omnibuses virtually every time. I think one time I supported one because there were some important provisions for Montana that we need to get done for our state. But believe me, it's one of I'm a fiscal hawk, and it'll be a fight we're going to have here, not just the end of this month, but probably to the end of the year.
Yeah, and we'll be following that and looking forward to chatting with you along that way. Let's take a quick call. I want to get to forest management. I'm up against the clock here now with 3 minutes left. Casey, listening in Great Falls. Casey, I know you've been standing by. 1450 AM KQDI. Great signal up there. Thanks. You're on the air with Senator Steve Daines.
Yeah, the subject, first of all, I want to say I appreciate Senator Daines. I think he's one real breath of fresh air, and I pray for him every day that God will give him wisdom.
Thank you.
I think one of the biggest issues I see coming is leadership. I talked with my 34-year-old son and his generation. Many of them are very discouraged about their prospects. So the leadership at the top is very, very important. They look at so I said all that to say this. You got people like Fetterman that get elected. You got some of the old war horses like Dianne Feinstein, and even Mitch is getting to the end of his reign. I think there needs to be a change of the guard. It's very critical. I hope that you're at the table. I would even, if I was there, I'd probably vote for you. But for leadership. So I just want you to kind of have the wisdom of Solomon to split the baby, I guess you'd say.
Yeah. Casey, I appreciate that. And Senator, you can, we might not get to forest management. I think you can recognize in our public, we have some anxiety about where we're headed here.
Yeah, and Casey summed it up well. Our children now are getting in the ages. Casey talked about a 34-year-old son. We have a 33-year-old son. We have a 31-year-old daughter, a 29-year-old son, and a 26-year-old daughter, and five grandchildren now. And we're having these same conversations. And we're very thankful that they are by the grace of God, our children have a strong faith. They've got a good, solid grasp on their worldviews and their politics. And when we get together for Thanksgiving and Christmas conversations and so forth, we're all on the same page politically, which is something I'm grateful for, truly. But it always comes down to leadership, always does. Ronald Reagan was the leader who inspired me when I was a college student at Montana State. He was the first president I got to vote for. And I think what Reagan had was that winsome, a conservative approach. One of his great lines was, "I'm a conservative and I'm not angry about it." You know, politics and leadership is about persuasion and addition, not about subtraction.
Montana Senator Steve Daines. Senator, I apologize for that. We'll be out of time here.
Okay, I'll let you go, Tom. And anyway, Casey's right. I want to thank Casey for his prayers. One of the great blessings of this job is the prayers of so many Montanans, and I thank you for that.
Amen to that. Be well. We'll talk to you down the road, sir. Thank you.